Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. I'm your host for the day today, Christoph, and with me is Jeff.
Hey, Christoph. How's it going, man?
It's good. How are you doing?
I am doing really well. It's great to be here. It's great to be in the office with you. I'm enjoying every moment of it.
Yeah. Well, and we had a little bit of technical issues before we got started, but we're all good to go now. A little bit of a upgrade on the podcast stuff, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Always adapting, right?
Always
having to be agile.
And hey, always thanking the Lord for the blessing that Jeff Bauer is.
Yeah, right.
Always.
Yeah, Jeff isn't, you won't hear him on this podcast, the other Jeff, but he was just here momentarily fixing the glitches for us. So now we can do this.
You know how every grandma and grandpa need a grandson or granddaughter who can like fix their printer when it's not working, right? Or like, but it's just, or you know, the TV's not working, something like some technology. He is like our grandchild of the technology.
He's MacGyver.
He just fixes everything. He just figures it out.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't, you know, I could, if it were me, I'd be rolling my eyes and going, oh my goodness, these guys. But he's so kind. Just
gracious.
Oh man. So good. So good. So anyways, if there are any like technical issues with this podcast, you know that we're working with a little bit of new equipment, like a little bit of new stuff. And so we're still like trying to break it in and everything like that. But, how are you doing?
I'm well. You know, I feel like the last couple of weeks has been fun. We had some fun camping adventures, which people got to hear about in the podcast a little bit.
Yeah.
And, but it's fun to be back. It's fun to be in the office and be rolling with it. It's interesting how August, to me, at least in our family, feels like it's just kind of flying.
Yeah.
And, last night we had our first like school meeting of the year at Marinette
That's
High School
right.
for
yeah.
fall sports.
We
had a couple athletes. So that was actually really fun though.
Was it?
To see people that we haven't seen, you know, through the summer, everyone's rhythms are different. So there's families that we haven't seen. So that was really neat and fun. And I'm excited for that to all start up again.
Well, and you, when you're in those sports seasons, you're in such a rhythm of like getting together with those families and seeing them at every sports thing. You know, we were like that with soccer over the summer. It was like every night we were out of the field, we were talking to the different families. And then when that season is done, it's like, all right, see ya. So,
yep.
You know, you just, the rhythms are not the same. And then when you get back into that, it's fun. It's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I'm excited about that. How are you?
Good. Yeah. You know, doing well. I feel like I could answer that question a million different ways. But for right now and for this morning, I'm doing really well. So we are, maybe this is TMI. I don't know. We're in the thick of trying to do potty training with our youngest. And so, it just feels like always on guard. Like we are always on guard right now and just trying to,
vigilant.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Trying everything. So anyways, you can tell where my brain is kind of at is just like, oh my goodness. Do we need to ask him if he's got to go to the bathroom? I'm like, wait, you're at church, you're in the office.
Yeah.
He's like not even here right now.
Right.
What do you do? Why's your brain there? I'm like, okay, calm down, podcast, here we are. So doing well. You preached on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. We so just a little bit of where we're at right now is for this month, Jeff and I were given the opportunities to preach a couple of sermons that weren't a part of a series, and you and I got together and we spitballed a few ideas. And you had actually kind of like this really specific, I want to talk about who God is and how we can rest in him and really just focus in on his characteristics. And so let's go through the Psalm. Let's go through a couple Psalms and do that. And for me, I was like, oh, that's awesome because the Psalms just so capture that. And I feel like I'm becoming more and more convinced the more and more we gaze at who God is and just like soak that in, the more we grow in what it looks like to be more like Christ, right? Which
yes.
kind of makes sense. In the Psalms, there's no more beautiful way than to just look at the Psalms and these just vivid, beautiful, poetic descriptions of who God is and what he has done and how he has served faithfully his family. And so you preached on Psalm 91.
Yeah, Psalm 91. And man, I mean, I hope it came through, but God really, you know, I landed on that Psalm and I think you probably experienced this too. A lot of times when we're preaching to ourselves, right? Like I'm preaching what,
yeah.
It's not like just for me, but God is, he takes his word as we study it and then we soak in it and he transforms our hearts. He challenges us. He encourages us. All the things we're hoping and praying that people receive it's happening in us too. And last week was a week where God used Psalm 91 in my life as I experienced the ups and downs of being a creature, you know, and the various things that all of us experience regularly. So I was really excited to get to talk about it and to get to try to unpack it a bit.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I just want to echo that. Like, I think oftentimes I have found when I preach messages that tend to resonate and kind of take root in people's hearts, it's because it's coming from basically me preaching to myself. I think there's like this idea when people say, oh, they're being so preachy, or they're preaching that like, I have something you need to hear. And really it's no, I want to tell you about this incredible thing that I'm experiencing in who Jesus is and how he's affected that. And so Psalm 91, you started it off. I shared this with you. I re-listened to the message last night. I was cleaning up my shed. I was, you know, moving rakes around and all that stuff. And I had my AirPods in while I was doing it. And it was really early on. You gave this essentially a parable of camping that really captured what I think was kind of the heart of this psalm, which was dwelling within God.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a really, really good thing we could maybe talk a little bit about is, why was that something that so resonated with you?
I mean, to me, it's interesting when you read a psalm like this and there's images of wings and there's images of arrows and shields, and it's like quite vivid, actually. If you were to draw that, if you were an artistic person and you wanted to draw this psalm, it would be a fascinating picture to look at because so many different images are brought up. But really, that idea of dwelling. So I'll just read that first verse.
Please, yeah.
He says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide or will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Mm-hmm. And so basically sets up this condition, like if you would like to rest in the shadow of the Almighty, that is going to be happening for the person who is dwelling in him and is, and ultimately that means living in him, right? All the time. And yeah, that tent illustration came to my mind as a way of illustrating that I think sometimes, I know from my own heart, I miss out on the opportunity of feeling that care that I could feel because I'm just not consciously dwelling in him. Now, I don't think it means that I'm like somehow just dangerously exposed in those moments where I'm not aware. I think he's caring for me all the time.
Yeah.
But I do know that I forfeit moments of peace and deep rest that I could have if I was aware that all I have to do is get inside right now. All I have to do is dwell in him.
Yeah.
And he, because of who he is, because he's trustworthy, because he's solid and powerful and loving, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you mind if I just share really quick what the parable, what your kind of, your illustration was? And I say parable because I think it was really, it really was like a parable. Was just, you were saying, and so that first verse talking about dwelling in the Lord, and the rest of the chapter goes on to talk about that a little bit deeper. But your illustration was, say I go camping and I'm camping with my family, which you have been doing mm-hmm. a lot this summer, which has been awesome. It's always great to see you afterwards. You have like so much joy. It's great. Not that you don't otherwise, but you can tell that there's a renewal, right? You're saying camping with your family, and you knew that it was going to be raining out, and you decided to just like sleep outside for some reason, rather than inside of the tent. And then afterwards you wake up the next day. I can't remember how you finish it necessarily, but you're like frustrated that you're wet and you're frustrated that like, and I was like, well, why didn't you just get in the tent? Like go be in the tent. Like just go stay in the tent. Is that a pretty fair?
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that shelter is available if we will avail ourselves of it.
Yeah.
And why in the world would you not?
Right.
You know? And I think that's the question I ask myself, like why? So if God is who he has revealed himself to be, and reality is that I have received this reconciled relationship with him. There's no reason for me to hide anymore, right? Jesus has covered all of that. He brought forgiveness. He has cleansed me of the shame of all of it. Why in the world would I forfeit enjoying being in his presence? And that's kind of what I was trying to get at with that illustration, is he's available. He's there. He's reliable. Let's get in him.
So let's riff on that a little bit. Why do you think, why don't we? Like, because here's the thing. I think a lot of people, when they experience Christ, they have that, it's almost like walking into the tent for the first time, and it is just like,
mm-hmm.
oh my goodness, like incredible. It's awesome. And then what ends up happening is, you know, we do live in a broken world, and we are not in our glorified states. We are not, we still exist in this broken world. And so there are plenty of times where we find ourselves, it's almost as if we don't even remember stepping out of the tent. It's just kind of like we close our eyes and we open our eyes and we're outside of the tent. And it sometimes it feels like we're in the woods, like we're miles away from the tent. And, you know, like, so why does that happen? Why do we not step inside the tent?
Yeah. I mean, there's probably for each one of us, there's as many reasons as there are numbers of us, but I think the big categories, are our own hearts that forget. I think that we forget, and we're because of our stubbornness, because of our sin, we can be deceived into believing there is another refuge I could go to. There's another tent over there that's going to work, but the tent is actually full of holes.
Right.
It's not going to protect. It's just the screen without a rain fly on it or something. It's not going to protect against the rain. So that's one reason. I do think a major one, at least in my life, for a good chunk of my life, I just didn't have a picture or an imagination for what it would look like to dwell in him continually. That would be part of... I remember one of the first glimpses I got in that, I was in high school, and someone had told me about Tozer, A.W. Tozer, this author. And I remember reading, I can't remember one of his books, like maybe The Pursuit of God or one of his books, kind of one of his famous books. And he just talked about experiencing God relationally in life, his description of it. And I remember thinking, I didn't know that was possible.
Right,
I didn't realize that was a thing. So I do think that's part of the reason we miss out is I think in our stream, like our world, like that faith fits in the Christian tent, we do a really good job of articulating this is what it looks like to cross the line of faith and receive Jesus and become his. Like this is what that process looks like. I think we do. I think it's a strength where I think we can be really weak is helping people understand yes, now you belong to him, and now look what you get. Look at these benefits that are yours. Not just that now you don't have to worry about hell and you go to heaven. I think people understand that really clearly, right? But now you get to actually live in him now. And I think developing an imagination for that is really important if we will live it.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
No, absolutely.
What would you say? Like, what are some other things, like for you or that you've experienced with people?
That's a good question. Because there's a lot, right? And it does differ from person to person. But I think, you know, my mind is so stuck on the illustration, so I'm going to continue on with the illustration just because. But it's, you know, there's a few things. You're allured by temptations of this world. You look outside the tent and you're like, oh my goodness, there's a beautiful, you know, let's get very Genesis 3 on this, and there's a beautiful fruit on that tree.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm gonna go after that. And what you don't recognize is that, you know, maybe there's a bear like 10 feet away from that you can't see from inside the tent. Or, you know, so there are the temptations of this world that just go, oh, this is better. This is a little bit better. This is a little bit better. And I think so actually, as I'm saying this, I'm reminded of one of the things you talked about in your message. I think hopefully this isn't me projecting it, but, was the fact that like you were actually created to be
yes
in like that was the intention, you know? And so, it's just this allure of like, oh, here's all the things that I actually want versus what I actually need. And it's really easy to go after those things because I don't know, it's the things of the world that kind of tempt us. And not recognizing that, yeah, the joy is actually found in the Lord. And it's amazing when you actually do practice the presence of the Lord and you are in that refuge, that the promise isn't that there aren't going to be storms that come. The promise isn't that there aren't going to be bears that are around the campsite. The promise isn't that there aren't going to be all these things. The promise is that he is going to go with you through it, that he is going to be there. He is your refuge. That was again, another thing. Sorry, there's a lot of things from your message that are popping in my brain now. I should have taken notes while I was cleaning my shed on my notes.
That's hard to do, right?
Yeah. But truly you were talking about the fortress and the idea of like a fortress. And, I was thinking there's a picture of when I was a kid. So I was born in Germany. My dad was in the Air Force. And so we lived on an Air Force base. And there's a picture of me. My mom used to always show me of as me as a baby, Christoph as a little baby. And right behind me there's this castle. because we live in Germany. There's still tons of castles over in Germany. And in the picture, it's kind of unimpressive, right? In the picture, you're just kind of like, oh, that looks neat. That's cool, right? Like, whatever. But if you ever like actually go to and you're next to one of those fortresses, you're like, there's no bears going through that thing, man. Like, there's no winter storm in Wisconsin that's going to knock that thing down, you know? And so it's like, that's where the tent analogy kind of like falls a little bit, is that it's a tent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Storm comes through and wipes that thing out. All of us have, not all of us, but if you've ever gone camping and you've gone to sleep in a rainstorm and woken up in a puddle of mm-hmm. water, that's super fun.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen in a fortress.
No.
And that's who the Lord, that's what this psalm says the Lord is. I can read this really quick, you know, right away in verse, what is it, verse 2. Mm-hmm. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Which is just awesome. And then further down, 9 and 10, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. Just powerful. So, I think that answer does end up being like practically different for everyone. The temptations that people have are different. That's actually part of the reason why we're called to live communally and together, is to help each other recognize those things and to hold each other accountable to those things. My next question though, then, so if that's the case, what does it look like to practice? So if we are prone, it's the classic hymn, prone to wander, Lord, mm-hmm. I feel it. If that is the bend of our hearts, but we recognize that we were actually made to dwell with the Lord, what are the practices we can put into our life to better experience that? To better, you know, we've talked about it here in the office a lot, and we've talked about it even just as we were counseling people, is a spiritual discipline of practicing the presence of the Lord. How do we do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I'll tell you for me what's been helpful. I'd love to hear your experience with that too. There's a little book called Practice of the Presence of God by a monk named Brother Lawrence.
Yep.
And it's short. And again, I somehow exposed to that in college and would read it, and I've reread it. And it's interesting. So this monk, he had a discipline. His job at the monastery was washing dishes. And he figured out while he was washing dishes that while he was doing that, he could also be basically engaged in an ongoing conversation with God, where he was experiencing God's presence in those moments. And his description actually has been very helpful for me, and it's been something that has informed how I practice God's presence. So for me, like that verse 2, where it says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, that is a model, a really short like sentence that I think we can then build a whole conversation with God off of. So really getting very specific and concrete, I think that to the extent that we are setting our mind upon God and on his ways, what we're paying attention to is what we will end up experiencing. So a key part, if we want to experience God in our daily life, is that our mind needs to be set on him and on his ways. And you could read like Colossians 3, Paul describes that, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth.
Yeah.
That's not so much to me a call to like, don't think about certain things, but it's a call to mind what is real. Call to mind what is often invisible to our eye, but is solid and true and real about the world. And that is that we live in God's presence. So I would say that's one of the disciplines for me, is just really intentionally calling to mind that God is here. And then not just thinking he's here, but then conversing with him about being here.
Yeah, well, like, what does that mean? What does that practically mean? And I think that's the question we all have to wrestle with. And at the end of the day, it's going to look a little bit different for everybody, because everybody's gifted in certain ways. And, you know, you are planted in a specific area that's going to look different than where we're planted. But there does seem to be kind of that paradigm. This is actually, I brought up the psalm I preached on a week ago, Psalm 67, which says, may God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face to shine upon us.
Mm.
And then the next verse says, that your way may be known on earth, that your saving power among all nations. Like, there is this constant, like, this constant streamline of knowing the Lord and trusting the Lord and growing in who the Lord is. And like, when it says, may his face shine upon you, that's what that's about. It's about growing in who he is. And it's about recognizing that he is our blessing. It is him. And what does that do then? As we meditate on that, as we think on that, we then are enabled to live the life we're called to live His way, to be light in our community, to be salt and light in our community. It is like always that. I've always said, and I've been here for 8 years doing youth ministry, and I feel like even as you're doing different ministries, you grow and you learn, and some of the things you've taught in the past, you're like, I don't know if I would have done it that way. Maybe I'll do it a little bit different. One thing that's always remained consistent for me is when I'm talking to students, and I think this is true for anyone, is, you know, students are always asking, how do I know what God's purpose is for my life? How do I know where God wants me to go? All those things. They say, at the end of the day, it's three things. It's knowing God, loving others. Like, discover what that looks like. And wherever you go, if you can check off those three things and say, man, being here, I'm growing in who God is. I'm growing in my love and dependence on Him, and I'm able to love those who are around me. Then like the stuff that kind of comes underneath that, it's like, it matters, but it doesn't, because those are the things that matter. Knowing God, loving others.
Yeah. That's our call. And that gets worked out in all sorts of things. And I think that's important, because that gets at the perspective that can be ours in Him. So what I mean by that is, so no matter what I have today, what meetings I have set up, what tasks I need to get done and out in the world, really the thing I really need to do today is to dwell in Him, to enjoy Him, to know Him. And as I do that, I take care of the tasks that I have to do, and I have the meetings that I have to have. And I think it's a reordering of the perspective of what is actually important about today. So if we want to experience Him, that has to be front of mind, rather than, that's right, I want to do that too. And we add that on.
Yep. And exactly.
At least in my experience, if I add on to the rest of my day, I add on wanting to dwell in God, I don't experience Him in the same way as if I basically say, today is actually about dwelling in Him the whole day. It's about knowing Him and being known by Him. And as I do that, I will do the other things. And it just changes what life is like. It changes what it feels like. It changes what challenges are like. And it really is, I think, what, when you read the Genesis account of the creation of human beings, it's what we were meant for. And we need to recover it in Christ. You know, He restores that to us. And I mean, part of the point is that it's available. God has made it available. We don't have to make it happen, but we do trust Him and walk into it.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I'm thinking, like, even practically, one of the things we have to do then is recognize the areas where when we are in a certain environment or around a certain people or around all those sort of things, when those things are kind of like a pressure cooker, and it forces us to practice that presence of God, like it helps us to bring God to our forefront. Like, those are the things that we should leverage and pursue. You know, and I think it's important to think of it that way, because it could be really easy to just go, well, I'm just going to be around my Bible study, or I'm just going to be around, my church friends, or I'm just going to be around, like, you're going to kind of create like your own little ecosystem. But what I found in life personally is that the times where I've been brought to having God at the forefront for me have a lot of times been the moments where I'm at my weakest. It's kind of like when Paul says, you know, when I'm at my weakest, that's when He is strong. And that's the truth, is like, when I'm no longer able to cultivate my own environment, I recognize my dependency on God. And so leveraging that might look like, I'm going to go into really uncomfortable situations because I know that that's where God's going to force me to practice His presence. And that's not to say don't pursue the comfort things either. You know, 2 Corinthians says our God is a God of comfort, right? If we have been comforted, it's so that we may comfort others, and it's because we've been comforted by a God of comfort. And so it's not to say that, but I think a lot of times a really healthy, there's a really healthy balance, right? Of both pursuing that which is uncomfortable to know God more and to love God more and to love others more. And that was a lot of Jesus's ministry. Mm-hmm. Like you look at the way Jesus ministered, who He ministered to, I think a lot of us would be really uncomfortable to go on the street to people who are the neediest in our communities, but that's what we're called to do. That's where we're called to be. And that's when we're called to depend on Christ.
Yeah. And yeah, I agree. Trying to get even more specific. So like if you, at the end of your day, if you ask yourself the question, as I look at my day, how many times throughout the day did my mind consciously go to God and his work, and not what I have to do for him. So not like, did I do the things, but like him, just did it go to him? If you find that is like a, well, it just doesn't at all. Like I'm there with you. That's I think our normal state.
Yeah. Right.
But that can be changed through some intentionality in God's grace. And we could even do something as simple as, set an alarm. Like I've had friends that have set alarms throughout their day. They've just set every 6 hours or whatever. I have an alarm. I have something that essentially alerts me to the fact that I want to know him with me. And so I pause for a minute, 60 seconds, and I just focus on God and I interact with him and say, you might quote something like Psalm 91, like the beginning of it. Lord, I want to dwell in you. And you promise that I will then be in your shadow, that I will be protected. Help me to do that. Help me to be aware. Thank you for the day so far. That's it. It's like 60 seconds. But those are the kind of practices, I think. It sounds a bit mechanical, but it can be really helpful if we're not accustomed to our mind being on him throughout our day.
For sure. I love that. And I like, yeah, that is the other part, right? Is like, and that's where I know it's, I don't want to say cliche, but it's one of those, we hammer and hammer and hammer and hammer on, spend time in God's word, spend time in prayer. And the reason God has gifted us with those, and that's what that is, it's a gift, it's not an obligation, it is a gift to know him and rest in him more, is that those gifts and in that moment allows you then to experience that practicing his presence. A really good one, I can't remember the name of it, but last year I bought, and I've done this a couple of times since I bought it, was this book that walked through all the Psalms in a month. And it broke them all down. And so what I did is I did what you said, put the alarms in my phone, and it had three Psalms a day, one for morning, lunch, and dinner. And that's just what I did. That's what I started off my breakfast, lunch, and dinner with, was time in the Psalms. It was awesome. I loved it. You know, maybe it's one of those, but I love that, because that, again, what does it do? Knowing God, loving God. And then, when you're doing that, that spurs us on then to love others.
Yeah. And even as you mentioned, the importance of being in the Word, I want to highlight something there about that I think at least I've noticed in my own heart. So I guess we assume around here that we need to have time in the Word, like that's an important part of our relating with God.
Yeah.
But what I want to alert people to is sometimes the way in which we've learned to do that, or the way in which we've grown accustomed to spending time in the Word, is not always conducive to what we're describing right now. Sometimes it's more conducive to like study, or like learning, which is actually really good. We should learn from the Word. We should study the Word. But our daily practice of immersing ourselves in the Word ought to, at the same time, be a relational experience with God. And so that would be, I just encourage people to ask that question. When you spend time in the Word, how do you experience God? How do you relate with him through that? You might find that you need to make some changes. I know for me, like this year I've been working through, like, you know, Bible reading plan, which are very common and can be very helpful. They can also be a liability.
Sure.
Because if your time in the Word is about getting it done, then you run the risk of basically spending time in the Word without God.
Yeah,
which is sad, wild. Right? Yeah, but it's possible. It's actually possible to read God's word and not be with God doing it. So I would just encourage people to evaluate that. Is the way that you currently, your habit of being in the word, does it lead you? Is it a vehicle through which you can interact with God and be with him? And if it's not, I would just encourage you to just reexamine and maybe experiment a little bit. You might need to just change things up for a while, because things can become stale and routine, so that it might be more conducive to experiencing him.
Yeah, I love that, because I was just thinking how, for me, early on when I was doing ministry, before I even worked for a church, I helped out with a young adult ministry. And a lot of times when I was spending time in God's word, what I found my mind drifting towards was, oh, how can I teach people this? Or how can I tell people that? Or how can it no longer became actually practicing his presence. It became, how is this going to be used later on? Or how am I going to get, you know, how am I going to say something that's clever? Or how am I going to, and completely miss the fact that, like, wow, this is actually, like you just said, I totally miss the presence of God in his own word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in actually, we talked about this at the very beginning of like, it's actually the exact opposite. Oftentimes when we preach, it feels like the way that it is the most beneficial to those who are hearing is when we are getting out of the way as much as possible. And it is God's word working. And we're just kind of like, we're just like, God, use that however you will. And we kind of strip ourselves of our agenda and instead spend our time with him.
Yes.
I think it's awesome. Well, do you have anything else from this Sunday, from this Psalm that you wanted to share with anyone else?
Yeah, I think we covered a lot of it. I would just encourage you to, if you feel, you know, sometimes when you hear someone talk about the things we're talking about, dwelling in God, living with him as refuge, experiencing him, it can be encouraging, but it can be discouraging if you feel like that's not where I am right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to give a word of encouragement to you if you're hearing this, feeling like, I don't know, that just hasn't been my experience. Part of how God often lights up a desire in us for himself is just a discontent. Like we just feel discontent. We aren't experiencing him the way we think it's possible to. And so I would just encourage you, if you feel that at all, rather than letting that be a point of discouragement to you, let that be a point of encouragement that the Spirit of God is drawing you into God in a new way. Mm. And I would just lean into that. And to me, the very first thing that we ought to do if we feel that is to tell God that. I feel this. I want this. I know you've offered me this in Psalm 91 and I don't have it. Help me, teach me, guide me into that truth, into that experience. So I would tell him, and then I would tell someone else in your life who you trust, who could potentially walk with you and you could experience that together. I just want to be aware of that.
Yeah.
And the reality is for all of us, for me included, I don't feel profound experiences of God every day throughout my day. That's not my experience of that. I do consistently, I'm aware of his presence, but it is because I've developed habits where my mind goes to him throughout my day.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm encouraging people in is wherever you are, God can take you into a deeper place with him in that. And don't be discouraged if you haven't experienced him yet the way you want to, because I think that's true for all of us.
Absolutely. So if you are looking for any way, I'll end with this and say, if you are looking for any ways that we can help you with that, if you have any questions, if you have any prayer requests, any topics that you want us to tackle on the podcast, you can send us an email, connect@faithpeshtigo.com. We also love to, you know, we talk about the sermons, but we also love to tackle any topics that kind of get thrown our way. And we've had that happen a few times, which has been really cool. But to say with the practicing the presence thing, if you're going, I don't know where to start with that, send an email as well. And we can help you with that. And if you have any other questions, again, connect@faithpeshtigo.com. We are going to sign off on this one. Go in peace.